Good morning. How good it is to be together on this very first Sunday of Advent in this beautiful sanctuary as we worship our God. I trust you know and will always remember when we gather that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Just a few important announcements this morning before we actually enter into our worship time. We begin with a very big thanks to everyone who came out to decorate the church for the Advent season. Your help is very much appreciated, and a special thanks to Judy and Bill Leslie, who organized the troops. A reminder that today, following our 10:15 worship service, there will be a budget hearing. You may remember that last week we made available to you copies of the proposed budget for 2022. There are more copies in the back of the church in the narthex. And following worship today, if you'd like to learn more about the budget, our Finance Committee Chair, Grace Bruin, will be providing a presentation in the library. So head that direction after worship, and she will fill you in on all the details and seek to answer your questions. And a very important announcement also regarding next week. We'll be voting on the budget before our white gift service begins, and there will be just one worship service next Sunday because it is White Gift Sunday. That will be at 10:15. You've gotten all of the important announcements about the gifts to be purchased and what is needed by Urban Promise and also by the men's shelter at Old First UCC. So come anticipating that we will be able to experience a wonderfully festive time together, enjoy some good music, the children among us, and celebrate the season in a way that means so much to all of us. I believe that's all of the announcements for this morning. Please join me in taking a deep and a slow breath as we shift our gears now and enter into this time of worship. Dare to, for just a few moments, leave behind all the worries and concerns that you may have brought with you today. Breathe in the presence of our God who is close at hand. Breathe out what is weighing you down and causing you anxiety or worry or fear. Place it in God's hands as we worship now together. Amen. In recent days, many have commented to me about how the pandemic has caused them to lose track of time. Because time has unfolded so differently over the course of the past many months, and daily habits and routines have changed quite a bit, remembering what day of the week it is, or even what month it is, or what holiday comes next, is easy to lose track of. But let me assure you, I have not lost track of month and day, as I wish you all a Happy New Year today. You see, today is the first Sunday of a brand new church year, the first Sunday of Advent. Unlike the calendar year that begins on January 1st, our church calendar year begins today, as we mark the beginning of our journey toward the manger and celebrating the birth of Jesus. As the world prepared for Jesus' arrival as a tiny baby, there were all kinds of signs paving the way. Young Mary learned from the angel that she would be the mother of God's Son. Joseph was reassured in a dream that he should not hesitate to marry Mary. Wise men from afar followed a star that guided them to the Christ child, and shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, heard an angel chorus. As we prepare yet again for the coming of this little one, whose arrival in the world turned everything upside down, may we dare to pay attention to the signs around us, ever looking for signs of hope, reasons to rejoice, and courage to be instruments of God's peace, starting right here and right now, as we worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me as we pray the prayer of confession printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we begin our journey toward Bethlehem and celebrating the birth of your Son, our Savior, there are many distractions along the way. Television commercials and advertisements on every media platform are urging us to buy this and do that, to go here and do that there. How easy it is to lose focus on the goal that matters and become swept up in the buying, doing, decorating frenzy. Forgive us, God, for forgetting why we are celebrating in the first place. Forgive us for failing to stop and breathe long enough to feel the awe and wonder of this season of miracles and renewed hope. Grant us the courage and the desire to go against the flow, to do less and savor more as we anticipate the coming of the One who is both life-giving and life-saving. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During this season of gift giving, we are reminded that one of the greatest gifts we have access to day in and day out is the gift of forgiveness. All we have to do is ask God for forgiveness, and the slate is wiped clean. The offer is granted. May we claim this freeing gift. May we allow it to make us better followers of Christ. And may we share it freely with those we encounter along life's way. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. And our gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. As always, I have a special message for our children. I see a few out there, and those listening at home, and of course, all the young at heart among us. We are shifting our gears this week. Just like Reverend Sue said, it's the start of a new church year, and we're entering into a new season, the season leading up to Christmas called Advent. Our sanctuary, as you can see, is beautifully decorated. We've got Mary and Joseph and the manger, along with the Advent wreath up in the front on our communion table, the brightly lit Christmas trees on either side, and of course, the very important blue banners above your heads, which remind myself and all of us the special words and the order that they come in to guide us through the Advent season. These four words, these four ideas, are really special because they are at the heart of our Advent journey. Maybe you can remember them without having to look. I always need a little reminder. The words are hope, love, joy, and peace. And they really are more than just words. They are gifts to look for, to carry with us. They're ideas to ponder, ways of being in the world, things to look for, things to tell about, things to hold on to long after this season comes to an end. A few years ago, I heard someone use the letters of hope, H-O-P-E, to help us remember what hope means and what it helps us to do in our lives. H-O-P-E, hold on and pray every day. You see, hope is all about what keeps us going. It's what we hold on to when the going gets tough. It's something to look forward to. It's excitement and anticipation and that feeling you get when something really fun is happening tomorrow and you just can't even stay inside your bed and go to sleep because you're so excited for tomorrow to come. That is what God's hope feels like. Hope is the perfect word for the first Sunday of Advent because something really exciting is coming, the birth of Jesus, and we better hold on. I'm going to invite Reverend Sue to come over and to light our first candle in our Advent wreath, which we'll do every week. This week, we're lighting the purple candle of hope. This light that will burn all 4 weeks of Advent, since we're lighting it on the first week, will have to hold on the longest. And it will be the light of hope and our hope-filled prayers each day that will guide us and keep us going on our journey to the stable where Jesus will be born. In the weeks ahead, I hope you'll be holding on to hope and praying every day. And I hope that your prayers help you to see hope in places you might not expect. I hope that you find excitement and happy anticipation in places that you don't often look for them. Look for hope in new experiences, in the people around you. Look for hope even when you're sad or frustrated or stressed. Look for hope as you do your favorite holiday traditions and when you do new things. Then, once you find some hope, I hope that you'll share it with others around you so that you can be the hope that someone else is looking for. Now, don't forget, we do have our Advent Carryout Connection bags. There's still a few in the back and a few in my office. So if you've got a child or a grandchild or a neighbor that would enjoy having a little activity to go through each week of our Advent season, please feel free to grab one. And let's end our time together by praying, and then we'll join in saying our Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God of hope, thank you for that feeling we get when we know there is something good around the corner. Thank you for giving us the strength to hold on because we know good things lie ahead. Thank you for the light that comes even after times of darkness. Thank you for prayers of hope. Help us to be hope seekers, to make a special effort and pay special attention to see and feel hope in what is happening around us. And then help us to be hope tellers, to tell about what it feels like to be hope-filled, so that everyone can experience the hope of this special season and of your love. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Talk about shifting gears. Okay. I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Oh God, how good it is to be in this place, to sense how close you are wherever we may be, whether in this sanctuary or in the safety of our homes, listening to worship. We are listening because we need a word from you. So open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, and open our ears. As always, O God, we pray that your word might be clearly heard in the midst of mine. Amen. Does it strike you as odd that we mark the beginning of Advent by reading a gospel lesson about the return of Christ, even as we're preparing to welcome Jesus into the world for the first time as a little baby? That's one of the beauties of Advent. It's about both beginnings and endings, about the already and the not yet, about remembering and reaching forward. And I mention that because in the early church, the believers lived daily with the expectation that Christ would return any moment, that Christ would return in their lifetime. They lived with a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose, which I suspect many of us may lack centuries later. Cheryl Lindsay, a United Church of Christ pastor who each week reflects on our lectionary readings, poses this question, and I believe it's a good one for us to consider on this first Sunday of Advent. How differently might we respond to the conditions of our lives if we lived in the expectation of the coming of Jesus? What if we affirmed that Jesus is more than just a precious memory, more than a role model worth following, more than a personal get-out-of-hell-free card? What if we were utterly convinced that Jesus is a radical force for justice and righteousness, in constant universe-shaking movement toward the restoration and redemption of all creation? Jesus' words in today's gospel lesson are words of great hope and encouragement for the marginalized, for those on the edge, not so much for those who are comfortable or entitled. What does Jesus say? Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day, that is my return, will close on you suddenly like a trap. What grabbed my attention was that phrase, hearts will be weighed down. I suspect we all know what it is like to have a heart that is weighed down, literally or figuratively. Many of you know firsthand what it feels like to have a heart, a physical heart, that isn't functioning quite right, perhaps missing a beat every now and then, perhaps needing a valve replaced or an artery unclogged. You also know that the sooner you attend to these things, the better. The same is true when our hearts are heavy because they are filled with anxiety and fear and stress and trouble, and we have chosen to deal with those things in less than constructive or healthy ways. The sooner we turn to God in prayer, the sooner we find the courage to seek the help that will enable us to deal with life's pressures and stressors, the better able we will be to live fully in what I like to call the eternity that is now. The better able we will be to live with hope during this season of waiting and all the seasons of our lives. You know, and I know, life is fragile. Everything can change in an instant. That is why it is so important to focus on the eternal now, because this is what we have, this moment. Nothing beyond this moment is promised, and I don't say that because I'm a negative, pessimistic person. It is our reality. Willie Francois III, who happens to be a Baptist preacher in New Jersey, in reflecting on this passage of Scripture, says this: I see Jesus in this passage making a case about the fragility of life and the fierce need for people of faith to show up each day with stamina and courage. Sadly, for some Christians, salvation amounts to an escape from the present. As long as Jesus is going to come again and fix everything, we'll be just fine, right? We don't have to worry about a thing. We can turn a blind eye to the troubles of this world, run away from the eternal now terrors by outbelieving, outpraying, outdoing, outworshiping those who are not like us. But we cannot leave it to Jesus to fix, because when we do, that deeply harms the quality of our lives together, the lives God has called us to live as people of faith in community. If we leave it exclusively up to Jesus, the frailty of our existence on this very vulnerable planet will continue to worsen. A second coming is not the answer to structural racism, gender-based violence, or the dangerous momentum of infectious disease. What if now, right here, right now, both fragile and eternal is all that we have? Benjamin Mays, a significant voice during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, famously spoke these words on the campus of Morehouse College. He said, I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. We must not waste the power and potential of this gift that is the eternal now. H. Richard Niebuhr, perhaps best known for having penned the words of the Serenity Prayer, had this to say about eternity. Eternity is less the action of God before time or the life with God after time than it is the presence of God in time. Eternal life is a quality of existence as we journey together in the flesh right here and right now, which is not to in any way dismiss or diminish the importance of the eternal life that we all look forward to after this life on earth. Every memorial service I have ever officiated in my lifetime has included a reminder to those who grieve that we do not mourn as those who have no hope, that death does not get the final answer, that it does not get the last word, that there is more than this, but that eternity starts here, starts now, recognizing that God in Christ is here among us at this very moment. I believe we must respond to life as if now is all there is, giving it our very best as we seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. I believe we need to embrace our interdependence, our connectedness with the rest of God's creation. I think the smallness we feel in the grand scheme of things is a good thing, a gift that puts us in touch with each other and the whole created order. And as for the horrible things unfolding around us, I don't see them as the tools of an angry God trying to introduce the end of creation. The horrible things happening around us are the consequences of our failure to be accountable to one another. Our failure to be accountable to the good earth God has created, our failure to be accountable to God, God's self. We have not been faithful stewards. We have not always been our sisters and brothers' keepers. We have not always embraced our calling to be in community, recognizing that not a one of us, no matter how independent or strong you may think you are, not a one of us can make it out there alone. It is not too late to stop wasting our eternal now. It is the perfect time to take our heavy hearts and place them in God's loving hands. During this season of Advent, this season of the already and the not yet, the beginning and the end, the remembering and the reaching, this is a perfect time to begin to turn things around, to restore hope, one day at a time, one act of kindness at a time, one person at a time, counting on God's mercy, counting on God's steadfast love to sustain us and carry us every single step of the way. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we switch our gears again and focus on our prayers for this morning and join in a time of prayer, I'd like to lift up some concerns that have been shared. There are no joys listed in our book this morning. I know this is a joyful season, but it certainly does come with many concerns and worries and things of that nature. So quite a few concerns have been shared with us in the course of this week. Margie Jewell wrote a note to say thank you to everyone for prayers for husband Charlie and daughter Heather. Both are doing better, but still in the hospital. So our healing prayers continue to surround Charlie and Heather, and prayers of strength for Margie as well. Prayers are with Dottie Rittenhouse and family on the passing of her brother. Last week we prayed for Gail Bupp, who is receiving hospice care. Gail did pass away on the 23rd, and services will be held sometime in the spring, but in the meantime, we certainly surround her family with our prayers. Jackie Huntsberger is recovering from recent back surgery at Abington Hospital, so prayers for continued strength and healing for her and husband Vern. At our early service, Jean McKinstry Rogers asked for prayers for her whole family, who has endured quite a season of loss. So we keep Jean herself, as well as daughters Judy and Erin, in our prayers. They will celebrate Polly's life this afternoon here at St. John's at 2. And a concern for Jean Beggs, who will be undergoing a series of medical tests this coming week. Lots of concerns, names and faces to keep in our prayers, and of course, knowing that you all come to this time of prayer with your own joys and concerns on your hearts and minds, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God of hope, we confess to you that we live in a world desperately in need of that hope now more than ever. As we busy ourselves in anticipation of the season and the coming of your Son, we recognize that hope is not something we can order online and have shipped to our front door. It does not always come easily. So many are crying out for healing in a broken world. So many face this season with broken hearts, with grief-sick souls, with an emptiness that consumes. Gracious God, surround them, surround us with your hope, and make all of us mindful of the hurt that surrounds us, even in the midst of this joyful season. We pray this day especially for children in places of violence, children everywhere, who struggle to find happiness and fulfillment, who hunger for love and compassion. We pray for victims of domestic violence, who endure pain and abuse, who long for peace and healing. We pray for people who live in the grips of their own or a loved one's substance abuse or mental health struggles, those who seek an escape and who ache to feel better and who despair at seeing no way out, no way forward. We pray for worshiping communities of all faith that seek to do good and to heal in the world. Those who preach love in the face of hate and welcome the stranger as a friend. Who work to better themselves and share their blessings with others. We pray for all those dear to us who struggle with illness, who desire comfort in the face of constant pain, who wait for healing and for peace. We pray for those who are experiencing home and food insecurity, who hunger and thirst and fear the unknown, who search for people to acknowledge them as human. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones recently, those who grieve the loss of children and parents and other dear ones, those who find the holidays a difficult time, where joy and peace and hope is hard to find. God, even in the midst of our own community, we lift up those experiencing life's joys and the concerns we have lifted up. We keep in mind, especially this day, Charlie and Heather and Margie. We think of Dottie and her family, Gail's family. We think of Jackie and Vern. Jean, Judy, and Aaron, and Jean. We ask that you surround them now with whatever it is that they need to get through each day. And we take time now, O God, to pray silently to you, lifting up prayers of our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God. We trust that you are a God of hope, of mercy, and of steadfast love. Make those gifts known to us this day in very real ways, that we might share them as gifts with others. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As you arrived for worship today, you had an opportunity to place your offering in the plates by the entrances. We take time now to dedicate those gifts as we join together in singing the doxology. Loving God, all good things around us are gifts from you. May we always remember that, O God, and even as we present these gifts, we do so, knowing that you're the source of all that is good in our life. Bless these gifts. Help us to understand the importance of the work you have called us to do, and help us to use these gifts well, to accomplish your mission, to touch lives not just here in this place, but far beyond this place. May our living each day reflect your generous spirit. May our living each day reflect your abundant life. May our living each day be filled with hope and joy as we seek to share these gifts with others. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And as we prepare to share communion this morning, I want to make sure that everyone has communion elements in hand. Our hospitality team folk are with baskets ready. If you do not have communion elements, either gluten-free or of the regular variety, make sure you get a hand up, so that Barb over here can see. We have some folk who do not have communion elements, and we want to make sure that everyone gets a communion element before we start. And let me also remind you, I realize that these prepackaged little communion elements are less than ideal, especially if manual dexterity is not your gift. But I'm going to count on you if you need help in opening them. Please reach out to those near you. I'm sure there is someone nearby who will help you. And the day will come when we will not have to be doing this, I suspect. But for now, we are thankful for the opportunity to be together and share our gifts in this way. Has everyone gotten communion elements? Friends, as we come together on this first Sunday of Advent, beginning a journey toward Bethlehem, we come from the north and the south. We come from the east and the west. We come because we know the importance of being fed or fueled for the journey. Granted, the food we receive here today is not like the food we eat at our tables at home, but it is food that nourishes us in a way this world will never be able to nourish us. It is food that comes to us from Christ, who is the host at this table. We remember Jesus in an upper room with his disciples, those he loved, those who were closest to him. We know that in the midst of a Passover meal, he took bread. And after giving thanks for the bread, he broke it. And as he shared it with those he loved, he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way that he broke the bread, Christ poured out the cup. And as he did, he said to his disciples, "This is my blood, poured out for you. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Christ did pause to say grace and to bless the meal before sharing it, and so we will do the same. Let us pray. Loving God, at the beginning of a new church year, at the start of this sacred Advent season, we come to this table, knowing that it is where we draw strength for the journey. Guided by the light of hope, may we eat and drink of these simple gifts, knowing that they are the most powerful sources of hope that we've got, because they remind us, they represent your unending and unfailing love. So bless these gifts. Bless all who receive them, that we might be a blessing and a gift to the world. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to peel back just the clear cellophane top to your little communion element. It will make the wafer available to you. And as you do so, I remind you, this is for us the body of Christ, broken so that we might be made whole. Remembering this, we take and eat.
And now I invite you to peel back the next layer of your cup, which will reveal the juice. If you need a hand, please do not be shy. And as we do so, and as we drink, we remember that this is for us the blood of Christ, a life poured out that we might know life in its fullest sense. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful. Thankful that you invite us to this table and through your Son, feed us, in ways that we need to be fed. As we prepare to go out into the world and out into the season of Advent, to wait, to watch for the signs, to place our heavy hearts in your good hands, may we always be mindful of those around us. Having been fed, may we always seek to feed others, literally and figuratively. May we share life just as you have shared life with us, and in so doing, reflect your light and love in the world. All of these things we pray with thanksgiving and with hope. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, as you venture out into the world on this first Sunday in Advent, be paying attention to what is going on around you. Look for those who may need your encouragement and words of love. Look for those who are searching for hope. Don't be afraid to give God your heavy heart and guide you as you move forward. And as you do, may the light of God surround you. The love of God enfold you, the power of God protect you, and the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.